ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग 11th कैंटो 21st chapter and 7th verse to, I think we'll read till 15th verse. This is a section about purity and impurity. So you can repeat after me at least one verse. Desh kal adi bhavanam vastu nam mama sattama गुणदोषौ विधीयेते नियम अर्थम ही कर्मणाम। सो ट्रांसलेशन प्रॉपर्ड बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ सेंटली उद्धव, इन ऑर्डर टू रिस्ट्रिक्ट मेटेरियल एक्टिविटीज आई हैव एस्टैब्लिश्ड दैट विच इज प्रॉपर एंड इम्प्रॉपर अमंग ऑल मेटेरियल थिंग्स इंक्लूडिंग टाइम space and objects. So purport, I'll just maybe purport is too long, I'll just include Prabhupada's explanation in my lecture. Now let me start. Om ajnana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada says, the word niyam artham is significant in this verse. A conditioned soul falsely identifies with his material senses, thus considers anything given immediate satisfaction to the body to be good. This is our criteria of good and bad. What gives comfort to this body, that's good. What gives peace to the mind, that's good. What gives enthusiasm to intelligence, that's good. And anything inconvenient or disturbing to be bad. But by higher intelligence, one recognizes long-term self-interest and danger. So people who are absorbed in body, they consider immediate good and immediate bad. But people who are wise, they consider good and bad by long-term vision, long-term plans. For example, one example Prabhupada gives, like medicine, it may be bitter, but nevertheless, if we are sick, we take that medicine. We tolerate that bitter taste because we know that in long term, taking medicine is best for me. I'll get cured of the disease. So, a wise person does not go by immediate results. That's what Krishna says in Gita. What is nectar at first? And will become poison afterwards. So you should be careful. It's a trap. And what is poisonous first, it might seem difficult, will give nectar in the later stages. So this is the point. Point is, because people are absorbed in their material body, they are prone to sinful activities. And because they are prone to sinful activities, it is very important to establish, to tell them what to do and what not to do. What is proper and what is improper. Now you might think, well, to decide what is proper and what is improper, why do we need scriptures? The point is, why do we need scriptures? Can't we decide on our own what is proper, what is improper? Okay, yeah. Somebody will say, well, to kill somebody, that's improper, obviously. And then to help others, that's proper. To be clean, yeah, it seems it's good. To be dirty, it's bad. So why do we need scriptural directions and rules and regulations to decide what to do, what not to do? What is best for me, what is not best for me? Why do I need this? So this is simple. It's like a child. The child can also think what is good for me, what is bad, from his perspective. child will think, yeah, it's good, it's proper for me to eat toffees and chocolates because I'll enjoy, it's tasty, everybody's eating, and it's not, it's proper for me to play. Why to waste time in studying? What will I gain by studying? Nothing, simply waste of time. So the point is, child is thinking from its own perspective, what is good and what is bad for it, what is proper, what is improper. But an adult can clearly see that child cannot understand. Childish mentality. He must study. Because afterwards, when he becomes young, it will benefit. That study will benefit. How he is going to earn? Now he is taking money from us. And he is happy. But later what will happen? Isn't it? So because adults have long-term vision, they have long-term planning, they can understand what is good and what is bad. So that is why people who are in bodily platform, people who are attached to their bodies, they are like child. And they need direction from scriptures. You can't really decide for yourself what is good, what is bad. Because many people thought, like Mahatma Gandhi, he thought freedom for the country is good, isn't it? We are slaves of Britishers. Okay? So we got free? We didn't really get free. We didn't attain freedom. Because previously we were slaves of Britishers who were at least civilized. And now we are slaves of politicians who are nonsense, uncivilized animals. Most of them. They are useless people, isn't it? Our politicians. At least at time of Britishers, there was some law and order. But now nothing. Nothing. So Mahatma Gandhi thought it was good. Everybody fought, struggled. We got freedom. We became so happy. But what happened? India is ruined now. In the name of democracy and freedom. So people think. People can apply their logic, but logic doesn't work. We need directions from God. Why our logic doesn't work? Because we don't know everything. We are not omnipotent. We are not omniscient, isn't it? We don't know what will happen in future. We might have big plans, but most of the times, what we think, that doesn't happen. Something else happens, isn't it? Most of the times, whether it's at individual level or social level, or at the level of the world. And there's so many examples like that. So many examples. Like for example, what other examples are there? Like for example, these politicians, or WHO, UNESCO, people make so many laws. Of course, when they're making laws, there's so many intelligent people. And they say, we'll do the best for the country. And what happens? At the end, people criticize them. What nonsense they have done. They have done more. They have ruined our country, isn't it? That happens, no? Why? If you're so intelligent to decide what to do, what not to do. There's so many IAS and trained people. Still you can't do benefit of the world. What's the use? So many organizations, so many NGOs. All over the world they're working. But what's happening? World is declining. Day by day. Morals are declining. Problems are increasing. Why? That is why Krishna says you have to take directions from scriptures, because scriptures directions are given by God. God knows if you do this, this is going to happen. He is perfect. He knows. Technology. So people thought Trinity is bad. Technologies. Yeah, if you have technology, we'll advance. It'll be so nice. Even Amodi, he went to Japan. Now he's trying to bring that bullet train. You know this? From Japan, they got contract. And technology and all those things. He thinks, well, it's good. Technology is good. But I think he needs some guidance. Real, real guidance. I think he's 100 years back. Because all countries in the West, they're realizing that technology technology is worse because it gives benefits but it creates more problems than benefits. It's difficult to handle. Many countries are realizing, many people are realizing, we should again come back to simple living and high thinking. This complex technology, so much pollution, so much dependence on technology, so much exploitation of nature, petrol, diesel, you know, so many things. And then you have to pay. It's not simple. It's no longer simple. So we should accept what God says. And that's why Krishna says, for people who are materially absorbed, who are at bodily level, whose intelligence are not mature, for them I have said what is good, what is bad, according to time, place and objects. I have fixed what time, what you should do. What objects are impure, what objects are pure. What time, what space is impure and pure. So now in verses from 7 to 15 verse, Krishna will tell to Uddhav, Krishna is telling to Uddhav, what is purity and impurity of time, place and objects. We should keep in mind, if we accept pure things and reject impure things, we will become pure. Isn't it? Because environment affects. We affect the environment affects us. Nature and nurture. Nature nurtures our intellect and emotions. And our emotions and intellect, they affect the nature. It goes both ways, isn't it? So what Krishna says, let's see. That's interesting. Because if you see all scriptures, all Dharma Shastras, like Manu Samhita, Gautam Smriti, so many Dharma Shastras, all Dharma Shastras are talking about purity, impurity. This is pure, this is impure. Just like you have seen your grandmother previously, when they used to go in kitchen for cooking, they had different set of sari hanging in the kitchen. So your grandmother will take bath and then she will change the sari and then she will enter the kitchen. Isn't it? Have you seen? Because otherwise if you go in the same clothes, what you are wearing, it's impure. Or when people used to come, still in South India, when people come from the office, jobs, first they take baths outside from the well or hand pump, and then the female will give him new clothes, he will wear dhoti, kurta, fresh, and then he's going to enter the house. Oh, I was seeing one female in America, she was American. So I was seeing a documentary, and she got a psychiatric disorder. Psychiatric problem, according to American doctors. And what was this problem? His problem was that she was not allowing her husband to enter the house without taking bath. She thought that he's becoming pure. He should take bath. And so she arranged a tap in a garage and a shower with some antiseptic. He has to take bath to change clothes. She will give fresh clothes and then he will enter. So the psychiatrists were thinking she's having a psychiatric disorder. But we know that probably in the last life, she was a Brahmin lady. She was accustomed to all these habits. And now, of course, unfortunately, she is born in America. She's having same impressions. And she's doing the same thing. When I was seeing this, I could immediately understand, you know, my God, in the last life, she must be a Brahmin lady, something. She might be following all these rules, regulations. It is still prevalent in India. So if all those American doctors, they come to India, they will diagnose everybody as having psychiatric disorder. Culture matters, isn't it? Place matters. So what does Krishna say? What does Krishna say? He has summarized all Dharma Shastras from 7 to 15. How many verses? 8 verses? 8 verses. All Dharma Shastras. What you need to know about purity and impurity. If you follow Krishna, you know everything. That's what we were reading yesterday. Sa sarvavid bhajati mam. Anybody is connected to me, he will know everything. So what Krishna says, let's see. First, Krishna gives purity of places. Place. So we should keep in mind when we are hearing, we should accept these things and reject impure places. And then we'll become pure. Because environment affects. That is why one thing is important to note, that is why in Gita we have Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, both. Krishna says don't do one, synthesize both, Jnana and Karma. Why? Because only knowledge cannot help you elevate. You need to apply that knowledge in a particular circumstance to mature that knowledge. Knowledge must be put into action. Jnana Yoga must be put into Karma Yoga. And then it gives wisdom. Isn't it? You go to theory class and then lab. Then you learn things. You simply attend theory class, no laboratory. You don't learn anything. So the both must be combined. That is why it is important to understand what is pure place, what is impure. You might say, many devotees says, how does it matter? This doesn't matter. We'll just hear lectures and that's it. But it'll matter. Because you are in contact with matter. Matter affects. So, but if you have a paramahamsa, that might not matter. If you are a perfect devotee, you are impure, pure, it doesn't matter. Because those things will not affect you. Just like now. Now our devotion is weak. So if we associate with bad people, we will become bad, isn't it? If we see bad things, our mind contaminates. But if an elevated devotee, he somehow comes across obscene things, his mind doesn't become contaminated because he's strong, isn't it? So that concept also Krishna will say. Let's see, what are the places? Among places, I'll just read English. This is 8th verse, 11th canto, 21st chapter. Krishna says, among places, those benefit of spotted antelopes. This is funny. A Krishna Saro. This is funny. Those places, benefit of spotted antelopes. That's impure. Spotted antelopes means, you know this, no? And deer? Antelopes means deers. So deer have spots. Those places which is devoid of spotted and deers which have spots, that's impure. So what do you mean by that? This can mean literal meaning also. When Prabhupada was in America, he was going in New York. In America. Somewhere in America. He was having a walk, in morning walk. So he was going and devotees were walking. He was there for chanting. So on the side there was a park, a wildlife sanctuary. When Prabhupada was walking, all deers came near Prabhupada. He was walking and they were running along with Prabhupada. Because it is said, deers can sense purity. Purity. Wherever there is purity, they will go. They can sense. Black spotted antelopes. Black spots. Deers. Deers are many variety, but with the deers which have black spots, they can sense pure people. So they were with Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada is a pure person. But this is literal sense. But Bhagavatam says what this means. You know, why places... This means places where there are spotted antelopes, that's pure. So why scriptures are saying this? Prabhupada writes, because previously, brahmacharis and sannyasis used to wear deer skin. So that is why Krishna says, a place where we find deer skin, that's pure. Because definitely you will find sadhus nearby because it's their clothes. That's all. Simple. Just like in modern terms, if you say, wherever you find this saffron dress, that place is pure. No, people come from, when you come down, when we are out of Delhi, there are no clothes hanging. So you don't come. When people come, they say, oh red clothes again. And then devotees are there, then you come here, isn't it? So spotted antelopes means, it's an indication that somewhere nearby there are saints. Either it's dress, or they are somewhere nearby. That is why it is pure. Otherwise, deers are in mode of ignorance. Simply keeping deers, that will not help you. You should not read this. Wherever there are deers, that's a pure place. So you will bring a pet and keep it and chain it in your house, and now it's become pure. That's ignorance. So, okay, first thing. Second thing is, those devoid of devotion to Brahmins, that place is impure. A place where devotees are not respected, that place is impure. We should not be there. Those possessing spotted antelopes but benefit of respectable men. See, Krishna now clears. Those places where you find deer, but you don't find devotees. You have deers, but you don't have deer devotees. Then that's useless place. Question is not of deer, but it's of devotees. Provinces like Kikat and places where cleanliness and purificatory rites are neglected. Kikat, I don't know what's this place, Kikat. You know, anybody knows what's Kikat? Huh? No. All places should be considered Kikat or contaminated. Oh, so Madhvacharya writes, religious person should reside within 8 miles radius of rivers, oceans, mountains. Hermitage means huts of sadhus or temple, forest, spiritual cities, or where Shaligram Shila is found. Any all other places should be considered impure. How much is 8 miles?
Yeah,
11 kilometers. It was 11-12 kilometers. So you should be within 12 kilometer radius of these things. Beyond 12 kilometers, it's impure. It becomes impure. So either there should be temple within 12 kilometers, or some river or ocean, or some mountain. Mountain means Govardhan. River means Yamuna. That we understand like that. And ocean means nectar of devotion. Ocean of devotion, there should be devotees. And forest means, everybody knows, forest means Vrindavan. Forest of Vrindavan. Spiritual cities, temples, or Shaligram, or deities. 12 kilometers. Any other places impure. So that is why previously kings who were pious kings, they used to keep in mind that after every 12 kilometers there should be a temple. So they used to build a temple within 12 kilometers radius. So the entire country, entire state will become pure. You can go anywhere. This was so nice, isn't it? So nice. So we can ask Modi to make every 12 kilometers one temple. Tell him, you know. He believes in Hindutva, so he can do that. So, but he has to be told every 12 kilometers, within 12 kilometers radius. So people become pure. That's all automatically. Because place affects, isn't it? Environment affects. All other places. So these places are called as Kikat. Kikat. Any place beyond 12 kilometers, they are called Kikat. Madhvacharya writes. We should not go there. So we should not go to Western countries because that's impure. That 12 to 1,000 kilometers away from temples, there's nothing. So that is why those places are called impure, Malaysian places. Okay. And where meat eaters are prominent, that place is impure. Where is Malaysia, where people eat meat, like China, America, all countries except India. Now India is also there's no place without meat eating. Everything is gone. So, but where meat eating is prominent, actually meat eating is prominent, Krishna says. People might eat meat, but it's prominent. Prominent means their daily diet is like Punjab. Punjab is fully, every day Punjabi should eat meat, either in dinner or lunch. Without that, they get indigestion. Every day, without fail. Bengal, every day they should eat fish. So those places are impure. Punjab, Bengal, all. If you go to South India, it's not like. People don't, except Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu are mad people. They're like demons, you know. They're atheist. Daily they will eat meat. They'll shout. But if you go to Karnataka and AP, some places, it's pure. So those places where earth is barren, where there are no vegetations, it's barren, that place is impious, impure place. yeah, maybe desert and all these places, they are impure. All are considered to be contaminated lands. We should avoid ourselves from those places. Okay. This is about place. What about time? Place will not be able to do much, isn't it? Because we got a flat in our societies. You have to stay. You're locked. But time you can modulate somehow. So what about time? A specific, this is ninth verse. Specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate. Appropriate for, like for example, is given like Brahma Murat. So appropriate for doing, performing devotional activities, for praying. Like Brahma Murat is considered pure. Either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia. So time may be pure by its own nature, like Brahma Murat, or sometimes may be pure by the specific paraphernalia. For example, if you hold a festival, like evening we have festival, Radhashtami festival, so the time becomes pure by the power of the festival. So either the time is pure itself, like Brahma Murat is always pure, or you do something so that it becomes pure. A festival or something like that. So that's pure. For the performance of one's prescribed duty, that time which impedes the performance of one's duty is considered impure. That time which impedes, which poses as an obstacle for devotional service, that time is impure. For example, night time. So night time you will feel sleepy, you'll be tired. So that's impure. At impure time, if you chant, not much effect will come because your mind will be impure. Bad thoughts will come. So you should sleep in night. That's important. So we can take help of this knowledge. If we go along with the nature, it will be easy, isn't it? If you go against the current of nature, you can do, but it will be difficult. Simple. It will be difficult. If you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, in morning, it's easy. It's easy, no? At night, if you try to do, it's always difficult. So it's always wise to consider impurity and purity. It becomes easy. Devotees sometimes say, what's the use? But then, we are not interested in purity and impurity like pandits. This is impure. Achua chut. You don't believe in that. We are interested because it is favorable to devotional service. That's all. We accept what is favorable, neglect what is unfavorable, reject what is unfavorable. Okay. So, Prabhupada also says, political, social and economic distribution that obstructs the execution of one's religious duties are considered inauspicious times. So now they are inauspicious times, isn't it? Bad government, bad policy, everybody is disturbed, they cannot do devotion properly. So time might consider your day-to-day time. It might also consider the time, political times, economic, social times, that is also called time, isn't it? So both has to be kept in mind. Just like in English we say, this time is bad, times are bad now. Abhi samay kharaab chal raha. So that time is not this time, day time, that time is circumstances, what's happening, okay. This is about time. We should keep in mind, we should do things at proper time. This is said in Manu Samhita. Fools do proper things at improper time. So there is no result. Although they are doing proper things, but still they are not result. They'll still see, my God, I am doing everything correct. Still there is no result because you have to do proper things at proper time. Then result comes. Otherwise result will not come. So suppose if you pick a fight with your friend, isn't it? And then you pick a fight, and after that fight everything settles down, and you joke, and then you shout at him that why did you do with me like that? So it doesn't affect much. Because you're joking and in the middle you remembered, you know, something happened and then you're shouting. But if you have fight and at that time you shout and make him remember, see, you did this, you did that, then that will be more effective, isn't it? If you're sitting casually and then you say, you did this, okay, no problem. It matters, no? So proper time, proper things. Then it gives effect. That gives effect. So it's like in lecture also. If I don't use words at proper time, they don't affect. That anybody who knows, who is a speaker, he knows. The most important thing in speech is, you have to use proper words at proper time. Proper time. As then they are effective. Otherwise words are not effective. Simple. So you're giving very serious lecture that birth and death is a serious issue. And you use the word jugaad. People say, what's happening, you know? Such a serious lecture. And he's using stupid words. So it doesn't go like that. Jugaad is Hindi word. Okay, what about pure objects? An object's purity or impurity is established by application of another object. An object becomes pure and impure by taking in contact with some other object, putting in contact with some other object, by words and by rituals. An object becomes pure and impure by contact with some other thing, by words, I don't know how, but by rituals, by effects of time, and according to its relative, and according to its smallness and bigness, and large, how much small and how much large. So, Krishna gives size. Krishna gives example now. Krishna is giving example. Examples are given here. For example, an object becomes pure by application of another object. Contact with that object. What's the example?
Food.
Okay. Fine. Like, simple example is clothes. You apply water and soap, it becomes pure. One object comes in contact with another object, it becomes pure. This is a simple example given. What about words? Objects become pure by words. What's this? What's the example? Madhvacharya gives example. The words of saintly people are pure. If you come in contact with the words of saintly people, or you can give the example, sound of the mantra, objects become pure. Which object? Mind. It becomes pure. Isn't it? So this is a good example. And then another, objects become pure by rituals. What is the example for this? This might be easy, isn't it? Yeah, for example, different sanskaras. Or simple example, if you offer flower to the deity, that's a ritual. Flowers become pure. If you offer food to deity, that becomes pure. Simple. Or in yajna, if you offer, they become pure. Okay, objects become pure by application of time. What's the example you can think? An example. By application of time, objects become pure.
Growing crops. If they are giving time to the...
So pure mean how pure? How pure? Time, application of time. So example is given in first purport. Rain water, for example, Prabhupada says, is considered pure after 10 days time. What? And after 3 days time in case of emergency.
What?
Rain water, if you collect, after 10 days it will become pure. So this policy of rain water,
harvesting,
no? Rain, it rains, yeah, and it goes in our tanki same day and we drink. Or it goes to some purifying, some
harvesting means it is going down the soil.
And then?
It is kept there. That is there.
How many days?
It is kept there because whenever you want to pump out,
okay,
you pump it.
So, but people do not know, we should not pump out before 10 days. Because rainwater will not become pure. It will become pure only after 10 days. That is. Or 3 days in emergency. 3 days. Otherwise it's impure. So we cannot drink rainwater. It's impure. It's impure. We have to keep for 10 days. This is a good example. On the other hand, certain foods decay in time and thus become impure. Time can also make things impure, isn't it? You keep something in the night, in summers, morning, they become impure. It will decay. So time also has has effect on purity and impurity of object. And last is size has effect on purity and impurity. Any example? Size has effect.
Big size mango, big size melon.
They can also become impure.
Exactly like ghee.
No. Okay, I'll give you example. You're thinking in wrong terms. Madhvacharya says, just like oceans do not become contaminated. A small pond, if you put a dirty cloth or some mud, it will become impure. Ocean, you put any amount of mud, it's pure. Ocean is always pure. Size matters, no? Or another example, this is a beautiful example. A great souls do not become impure. Great souls whose mind is very large, they can accommodate anything, they don't become impure. Or sky, so much pollution, so much things, but it doesn't become impure because it's so large. A small spaces become impure, isn't it? If you put stool here in a house, entire house will smell. If you put stool somewhere outside in the field, it's lying in front of you, but no smell, because space is large. So size matters on the object's purity and impurity. So if you want to become pure, you should increase your size. Don't become fat, but make your mind large. Be magnanimous. Large mind means be magnanimous. Be forgiving. A mind which is forgiving, it becomes pure. A mind which is not forgiving, which remembers past and then always brooding, thinks about past, is anxious, it becomes impure. Just forget and forgive, that's all. Mind becomes pure. This is nice. Okay. So now Krishna speaks of one principle. Now we understood pure and impure. Pure and impure objects, space and time. We have to consider objects. Oh, what's this? Place, yeah. Place, time and objects. We have to take care. Now Krishna says one principle. Impure things, this is 11th verse. Impure things may or may not impose sinful reactions upon a person. Impure things may not make you impure, depending on that person's strength or weakness, intelligence, wealth, location, and physical conditions. So, a time might be impure, a place might be impure, an object might be impure, but that impurity might not affect a person. You have to consider other factors also. What factors? 5 factors. His strength or weakness, that is Shaktya, and then intelligence, Buddhaya, intelligence, wealth, Samriddhi, then location, where you are, yeah, location, I don't know what they say in location in this, Desh, and then physical condition, Avastha. 5 factors we have to take more in account. It's becoming complex, or you have to be trained in this little bit. You have to keep in mind. So what are the examples for this? Okay, let's see examples. Prabhupada writes, according to laws of nature, that which is impure contaminates a particular person in accordance with person's situation. For example, on certain conditions such as solar eclipse or just after childbirth, one must restrict intake of food. So this is the first thing. Location matters. So location at solar eclipse, grahan, everything becomes impure. So you have to, if you're in circumstance, next day what happens? People wash their kitchen, whatever food is left throughout night, you have to throw it, you can't eat it. You take bath and then eat. So this is first thing. So according to one's physical strength and weakness, you have to see. So one who is physically weak, however, may eat without being considered impious. See. So, although for a normal person, solar eclipse will make people impure because the time is impure. Time we talked, time becomes impure. But that impurity will not affect a person who is weak, who is sick. He can eat. He can eat. This makes sense? It doesn't make sense. Weak, weak.
Weak, just like child. He cannot fast.
Yeah, he cannot fast. So for him, you can give him food. No problem. He will not become impure. It will not become impure. Or somebody is diseased, he is weak, he can't fast. So you don't make him fast, you know, it's solar eclipse, you will not eat. That's fanatic. So that is why half knowledge is very dangerous. You have to know, you have to have full knowledge. So rules are not made to make people frustrated. They are made to make people's life more easy, more comfortable and yet pure. That's what Krishna system is. Krishna system is very happy system. Okay, and now this is one thing. Now next is according to intelligence. We have to see the intelligence also. So this is very nice example. Prabhupada says that if people like animals, if animals do impure activities at impure place, they don't get any sinful reactions. They don't become impure because they are animals. They don't have intelligence. So laws doesn't work on them. They don't become impure. So Prabhupada writes here, this is good. Ignorance of law does not save from one being punished. But one who consciously commits sinful activities is considered most fallen. So people who are like animals, who do not know any, have no knowledge, like Westerners, no knowledge of time, place and objects, impurity, purity. First of all, they don't have any conception of purity, impurity. Because the intelligence is less, the wisdom is less. So for them, they might not become impure by that kind of impurity, as much as a person who is in knowledge. But nevertheless, because they are humans, they have got sufficient intelligence to understand this, and they have not used intelligence to understand the laws of God. That is why some sinful reactions will come, but not as much as who is in knowledge. You got my point? So just like, oh, this comes in Ramayana. So Valmiki, the Ramayana starts like that. So Valmiki goes in a forest and there's a hunter who is shouting and angry. He's killing some birds. So Valmiki, he becomes angry and he shouts on that person, "What the hell you are doing?" And then Valmiki thinks, come on, why should I shout on that person? He is ignorant. He doesn't know what is good, what is bad. It's expected from him to do all these things. I should not become angry, because if I am in knowledge and still I am becoming angry, this is foolishness. You got my point? So if you are in knowledge, you are in same situation, but you will get more sinful reactions. But if you are ignorant, sinful reactions will be less. So while you might think it's good to be in ignorance, that's also not correct. Because if you are ignorant, anyway, you will get less reactions, that's okay. But if you keep yourself willfully ignorant, then you'll get more reactions than a person who is in knowledge and is doing wrong things. That's one thing. And another thing is, if you're ignorant of laws, you'll not get any sinful reactions, but next life you'll become animal, because you're leading a life of animal. So you'll go down. So that's a problem. Long term is a problem. So that's the point. So intelligence matters, isn't it? Just like children. Oh, Madhvacharya gives one more example. Just like below 14 years, there's no sinful reactions for children. So children, they are always putting finger in their mouth, they are always dirty, but they don't become impure. They don't become impure. We're not supposed to wash our babies, you know, every second, because every second they're becoming impure. Below 14 years, they don't become impure. Let them do anything. They are not impure. That should be kept in mind. because they don't have any intelligence. Okay. Then next is one who is physically okay. Desh, place matters. So before this, wealth matters. So this example is given. Worn out dirty clothing or messy residence are considered impure for a rich man, but acceptable for a poor man. So for a poor man, if his house is dirty, if his clothes are dirty, he'll not become impure. There are no sinful reactions for him. This funny, huh? There are no sinful reactions. He is impure, but there are no sinful reactions. That impurity will not affect him. As far as sins are concerned, it will not affect him. So, keep in mind, Krishna is talking about sinful reactions. He will not get sinful reactions. So, because he is pure, what can you do? And then location matters. Location matters. Desh indicates safe and peaceful place. One is obligated to strictly perform religious rituals, whereas in dangerous chaotic conditions, one may be excused for occasional negligence of principles. So, you don't get sinful reactions for neglecting. If you're in an impure place, and if there's no option, that's okay. You don't become impure by that. Isn't it? Suppose if you're going to America, so I'm going. So that's an impure place according to scriptures. We have read so far, and all meat eaters. But we'll not become impure because of location, because it's a dangerous time. It's a dangerous chaotic situation. And this chaotic situation, preaching is more important. So, we don't become impure. Even if you go to these places. That's why, you know, in scriptures it is said, to go outside, to cross the boundaries of India, Aryavrat, that's sin. No saint used to cross the boundaries. But Prabhupada crossed, and people were criticizing, see, they crossed, you know. Or one of the Swamis in Madhva Sampradaya, he just went to America for preaching. And all other his god brothers, they were criticizing. How he just says, but half knowledge is very dangerous. In scriptures it is said, it is a dangerous situation, it is a dangerous time. This place has become dangerous, entire world. Because everything has become upside down, isn't it? There's so much chaos. In this times, in this place, you don't become impure. If you're going for preaching purpose, you don't become impure. Got my point? So location matters. So you may be excused for negligence of some principles. Prabhupada went to America. That's impure place. So you become impure. But no. But because that place is nonsense place, Prabhupada could not follow many rules and regulations. You can't follow everything. All rules and regulations. If you're at a place where you don't have any facilities. Just like we travel for preaching. And for traveling you can't offer properly. You have to put a picture, make something, and then offer. What to do? In train, you have to do offer like that. So then, you're not affected by the impurity of that place. It doesn't matter. For a train, for example, we don't take, if there's no facility for taking baths, what do? So you're impure, not taking bath is impure. But if there's no facility to take bath, then no problem. You don't become impure. You can neglect some rules. You don't become impure. So that's the point. Place matters. We have to keep in mind. Isn't it? You can't throw a person outside a train. You didn't take bath. Get out. You're impure. It doesn't happen like that. And last thing is physical condition. Physical condition at all? Everybody. Physical condition is easy. A young child or sickly person may be excused from some activities. Like, for example, offering obeisances to deities. A young child, if it comes, if it doesn't offer obeisances to deities, no problem. It is expected. It's a small child. No problem. You should not. Some people, you know what they do? They take their babies and on the ground. It's good. Maybe they get some good sanskar. But if they, even if they don't offer, no problem. Excused, no sinful reactions. That impure mentality will not affect them because of their physical condition. So these are some factors we have to keep in mind. And what we understand by this? In general, however, when considering the relative purity and impurity of material things, all the above mentioned factors must be calculated. This is nice, no? This is good. So Krishna is trying to help us to get out of fanaticism. If you don't understand this, you'll become fanatic, isn't it? You'll become fanatic. And that's how Brahmins became fanatic. To do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. You have to consider time, place, circumstance. For at least for purity and impurity. You have to consider all these five factors. And then decide what is pure and what is impure for that person. That's very important. You can't just bang everybody's head and shout at everybody on the name of following strictly rules and regulations. You can't do that. We have to be careful. Like our grandmothers, they were like fanatic grandmother, no? Isn't it? They used to always shout on the bahu, what's called bahu in English, what's that? Is there an English word for bahu or what? There's no bahu in Western word. What's that called? Probably daughter-in-law. Yeah, there is no word daughter-in-law in America. Prabhupada said in one of his lecture. Prabhupada went to America, he said, in your country you call girlfriend. In our country we call prostitutes. These girlfriends we call prostitutes in our country. There is no conception of girlfriend in India. At least previously, in Vedic times. Girlfriend means prostitute. Simple. So, it matters. All things must be calculate it properly, and then we should follow rules and regulations. Otherwise, we will do Niyam Agraha. Rupa Goswami says, don't be attached to rules and regulations. What that means? Rupa Goswami says, don't be attached to rules and regulations, and don't reject rules and regulations without understanding. Both things. So, don't be attached to rules and regulations means, fine, we're not supposed to follow rules and regulations every day, every moment, if we cannot. We have to consider these five factors and then see how much rules and regulations can be followed, how much should not be followed. Isn't it? So if you have to not follow rules and regulations, you can't neglect rules and regulations by speculation. Okay, from tomorrow I'll not do Mangal Aarti. Why? Because I don't feel. This is nonsense. If you don't want to do Mangal Aarti tomorrow, don't want to do, I mean to say, we want to do Mangal Aarti, but you have to consider these five factors. If you are physically weak, then you might miss Mangal Aarti because this is allowed, isn't it? If you are physical, if you are lying on bed, if you have fever, you might miss Mangal Aarti. Okay, fine, you know, what to do? Then you not get any sinful reactions. You will not get sins for neglecting that order. That's okay. So, if you have to neglect some rules, consider these five factors. If you have to accept some rules, consider purity and impurity mentioned by Krishna before in all these verses. This is for purity and impurity. Same principle will be there for devotional principles. Acceptance and rejectance. If you have to accept something, follow scriptures. If you have to reject something, apply some intelligence. Don't just neglect like that. See these five factors and do that. Simple. Okay. Is there any questions? This is good. Any questions? No questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.